We begin with a matter of principle that, if you think about it, comes right out of the Declaration of Independence.
I think the most important idea is to remember that there have been times throughout American history where what is right is not the same as what is legal. Sometimes to do the right thing, you have to break a law.
Leaker, whistleblower Edward Snowden on NBC News last night, casting himself as a Minuteman, a defender of freedom, a digital Paul Revere. In an interview with NBC's Brian Williams, Edward Snowden was asked point blank if he did irreparable damage to the security of the United States by leaking classified documents that Snowden believes show the NSA is compromising constitutional freedoms. Snowden really didn't have to think about his answer.
If after a year they can't show a single individual who's been harmed in any way by this reporting, is it really so grave? Is it really so serious? And can we really trust those claims without scrutinizing them? I'd argue that we can't.
Snowden, speaking from his exile in Russia, described how his discoveries as a government spy employed by the contractor Booz Allen Hamilton outraged him and compelled him, he says, to take action.
What's more shocking for anybody is not the dirtiness of the business. It's the dirtiness of the targeting. It's the dirtiness of the way these things are being used. It's the lack of respect for the public, because the lack of respect for the intrusiveness of surveillance.
Lack of respect for the public. And what about the NSA's capability? Snowden says there's almost no limit.
When I think about an instance that really just struck me as, oh my God, we can do this, and that we can do it to anyone, was that people at NSA, analysts, can actually watch people's internet communications, watch them draft correspondence, and actually watch their thoughts form as they type.
And with that capability, Snowden told NBC's Brian Williams that the NSA, he went into detail here, can create real-time profiles of people, information that can be used the way the government sees fit, and a citizen can never know.
They'd be able to tell something called your pattern of life. When are you doing these kind of activities? When do you wake up? When do you go to sleep? What other phones are around you when you wake up and go to sleep? Are you with someone who's not your wife? Are you doing something? Are you someplace you shouldn't be, according to the government, which is arbitrary, you know? Are you engaged in any kind of activities that we disapprove of, even if they aren't technically illegal? And all of these things can raise your level of scrutiny, even if it seems entirely innocent to you, even if you have nothing to hide, even if you're doing nothing wrong. These activities can be misconstrued, misinterpreted, and used to harm you as an individual, even without the government having any intent to do you wrong.
Edward Snowden seemed to sincerely want Americans to know what he knows, to feel what he feels, and he expressed no regrets for any of his actions. He also said he would love to come home to the USA. Joining us now is Glenn Greenwald, the journalist to whom Edward Snowden leaked his documents while Greenwald was working for the Guardian newspaper. Greenwald has told his own account of the Snowden affair in his new book, No Place to Hide. Glenn Greenwald, welcome to The Takeaway.
Great to be with you.
How did you find Edward Snowden last night? What were your impressions of his demeanor? He certainly was well-spoken in that interview.
Well, I was in Moscow for the interview, so I actually watched the whole thing as it was being taped. And that was essentially the demeanor that he has, not just in the interview, but in his life. He's extremely content with the choice that he made. He feels that he can put his head on the pillow every night and know that he took action in defense of his political beliefs, and that gives him a great deal of internal tranquility and peace, and I think that came through in the interview.
I don't know if you know any of this, but I have to ask at the outset here, do you think any of that tranquility comes from the fact that he's being paid by the Russians, that he's got some sort of fund of cash, that somebody is sort of pulling the strings here on Snowden?
When Daniel Ellsberg, who is my childhood political hero and I've become friends with and colleagues with in an organization, leaked the Pentagon Papers, the Nixon administration and all of its allies in the media constantly told the public that he was getting paid by the Russians, that he was a Russian spy, that he was on their payroll, that he was harming national security. This is the same accusatory cliches and fear-mongering campaigns that they use against every whistleblower. If anybody has a shred of evidence that Edward Snowden has any relationship with the Russians, like your question asked about, they should come forward with it. He didn't choose to be in Russia. He was passing through Russia on his way to Latin America and was forced to remain there because the U.S. government revoked his passport and then bullied the Cubans out of giving him safe passage through to Ecuador, where he wanted to seek asylum. So I think it's incredibly irresponsible for anyone to believe that without asking for some evidence, and there's been none presented because it's false.
So what do you make of this tone of outrage from Secretary of State John Kerry? Listen.
What he's done is hurt his country. What he's done is expose for terrorists a lot of mechanisms which now affect operational security of those terrorists and make it harder for the United States to break up plots, harder to protect our nation. If this man is a patriot, he should stay in the United States and make his case. Patriots don't go to Russia. They don't seek asylum in Cuba. They don't seek asylum in Venezuela. They fight their cause here. Edward Snowden is a coward. He is a traitor, and he has betrayed his country. And if he wants to come home tomorrow to face the music, right, he can do so.
Macho bluster from Secretary of State Kerry, or substantive?
He sounds like Dick Cheney talking about John Kerry in 2003, when Democrats used to get so offended when Republicans would impugn their patriotism and call them traitors and raise the specter of Venezuela and Cuba and foreign countries as a means of destroying their reputation. You know, if you go and look at what the Nixon administration said about Daniel Ellsberg, or what the Bush administration said about the whistleblowers who blew the whistle on torture and Abu Ghraib and rendition and the NSA program in 2005, they all sound exactly like John Kerry. Of course John Kerry is angry, because anyone who wields political power hates when transparency is brought to them and when the acts that they try to hide from the public are exposed. So, of course, people in the United States government are angry. But this whole idea of he helped the terrorists, I mean, isn't this exactly the rhetoric that the Bush administration spent 8 years using to demean and malign critics like John Kerry? And I thought we were supposed to be past that. If there's any evidence at all that anyone has been harmed by the revelations, as Edward Snowden said, they ought to come forward. The only things that have been harmed are the political reputation and credibility of people like John Kerry for having hidden from the American public exactly that which they ought to have known.
We're talking to Glenn Greenwald, author of No Place to Hide, Edward Snowden, the NSA, and the U.S. surveillance state. I have to say, calling John Kerry Dick Cheney is real playground there. I'm sure he would.
Did you hear what Dick?
No, I take your point.
Snowden.
Oh, I he absolutely.
He said he's a traitor and that he's a coward. Was that a playground assault? I think that if you compare the rhetoric to what Dick Cheney said back in 2003, you'll find them very similar. That's just an observational fact.
No, I take your point. Absolutely. And I do recall Kerry's tone during the Bush administration years. Let's move on to a couple of other issues here. Do you think the consequence of the Snowden leaks, though, does complicate the U.S. attempt to prevent industrial espionage, in that even Kerry has reported that in all of these capitals that he goes to, all of the world leaders sort of joke about whether their phones are being tapped, that sort of thing. The U.S. tries to tell the Chinese that their espionage against U.S. companies is wrong, and the Chinese basically just laugh. This does render the U.S. sort of powerless in the industrial espionage zone, right?
Well, that's because the documents prove that the U.S. has been engaging in industrial espionage and has been engaging in exactly the kind of economic surveillance that they've been denouncing the Chinese for engaging in. So, yes, if you deceive your own citizenry by claiming that other countries engage in a certain behavior and that that behavior is wrong, at exactly the same time that you yourself engage in that behavior, of course, it will make things more difficult for you on the world stage, in exactly the same way that it made it more difficult for the U.S. to condemn other countries for human rights abuses while we keep Guantanamo open, or while we kill children around the world with drone attacks. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're right. It does make it more difficult for the U.S. to uphold standards when they violate those standards, and that's a good reason why they should stop violating those standards.
So it's the same, in your view, as publishing the photos of the Abu Ghraib abuses by U.S. soldiers during Iraq. That transparency may make it more difficult for the U.S., but it holds the government to account.
Right. I mean, yes, of course it would be better for the U.S. government if all of their bad acts got to remain secret and hidden. But if their bad acts get exposed, I don't think you can blame the journalists and the whistleblowers who exposed them. I think the blame lies with the people who did those bad acts, in this case, the U.S. government.
Right. Why believe Snowden? When he came to you, why did you believe him? And how do you keep yourself from just being a spokesperson for Edward Snowden Enterprises?
Well, the reason I believed him is because he happened to have with him tens of thousands of documents that came directly from the files of the NSA that we were able to verify and authenticate, and they proved that what he was saying about the NSA and what it was doing was absolutely true. And I was then able to spend many, many hours with him talking about his motivations. They all were consistent. They held up. And most importantly of all, the information that he provided was information that turned out to be entirely correct. I don't make any secret at all of the fact that I admire what Edward Snowden did. I think we need more Edward Snowdens. I went into journalism to bring transparency to the government, to strengthen democracy by allowing citizens to debate what their government is doing. And the only question at the end of the day is my journalism that I've been able to do accurate and reliable? And I've done, I don't know how many stories, I mean, many dozens, and I think 17 countries around the world from this file, and not a single one bears a correction or a refraction. Almost none of them have been seriously questioned by anybody. And so I think the journalism speaks for itself.
Glenn, before we go, you say in The Intercept you're going to publish the list of all Americans who are being spied on in the last few seconds. Is that going to be a long list?
I didn't actually say that. We're going to publish a story on the kinds of people being targeted, and
all
it is
right.
A very long list, actually, yes.
Thanks for clarifying. Glenn Greenwald, journalist and author of No Place to Hide, Edward Snowden, the NSA, and the U.S. Surveillance State.